This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, good afternoon, world. It's Carm Capriotto, Aftermarket Weekly, week 149 with my great friend, Joe Marconi. Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, Carm. Always great to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure, honored to have you and your wisdom, our great podcast listening audience. We're going to talk today about amazing customer service that it's really not taught. And it's not assumed we actually have to do something about it. But first, we're going to chat about a little bit of life's crazy, unexpected things that could happen. And are we planning for it? I'll introduce Joe's great accomplishments here in a minute, but we want to thank Dorman for their great support. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix Studios. Always glad to have you here. And thank you, Dorman.
Dorman Products creates hundreds of new automotive replacement products every month. Part of what makes Dorman so unique is their ideation of new and innovative products. They have dedicated teams all across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada looking for new product ideas. Since every solution starts with a problem, these teams of researchers, field analysts, product specialists, and contributors consistently visit repair shops and make field calls. Now, this is to best understand the problems the industry is facing. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Other times, experts take it an additional step, further solving what made the original part problematic in the first place. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why did they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
Well, thank you so much, Dorman, for your continued support to bring this podcast episode always free to our peoples. This will be a video today, and you can watch it on social media, LinkedIn, YouTube. You'll also hear this come out on audio this Saturday on your favorite podcast listening app. Joe Marconi is here, executive council member, Elite Worldwide, and executive coach. Hello, Joe.
Well, thank you again, Carm. It was great being here.
Yeah, former shop owner, co-founder of autoshopowner.com. How is that? That's so cool. That's a great site.
It's a great forum site for shop owners to go on it and share their experience, ask questions, and learn a lot. A lot to learn on that site, so
AutoshopOwner.com. Please go there and become a member of it. It's free, am I right?
Free basic membership, yes.
Cool, cool, cool. And Joe says he loves being a forward thinker. You and I are so much alike. I think we're from the same generation. And I'm always, always trying to think about the future. We've done a lot of shows recently on that. But let's jump into our discussion today. It's never too early to prepare, Joe, for an eventual problem. Could be medical, could be an unfortunate incident or accident. And I don't think it matters if you're 40 or you're 70.
No, it doesn't, Carm. And we've all heard those stories of, you know, the unfortunate situation, maybe an accident, snowmobile accident, a motorcycle accident where the shop owner is either incapacitated or hurt, laid up, and worse. Sometimes they pass away. And we've heard those stories where what happens to the business, to their lives, they have kids, a wife, husband. And when you're young, you're under 35 years old, under 40 years old, you don't think of these things, but it's never too early to have a plan in place. And matter of fact, there's an old expression that, like with your home should always be ready to sell it as if you're going to sell it tomorrow. And the same with your business. You've got to do the right things. And you kind of owe it to yourself, your family, your employees, your customer base, everybody to make sure that you prepare. Do the right things today because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You really don't. And I wish that everybody would have a long life and I hope that you fulfill your dreams. But the reality is that life is going to throw us a curveball and we have to be ready for it. It could be something small or something major. We've all had things happen to us, our family members. So You know, think of the little things in your life that you're doing now that can be compounded tremendously if something happened to you.
I love your analogy about having the house ready to sell. And to your point, when you read anything about the E-Myth from Gerber.
Michael Gerber, yep.
Yeah, I mean, every decision that you make has to bring value to the potential exit strategy of what you have. And John, we're so close to it, to the grind each and every day, we don't stop to think, where are the passwords? Who can sign the checks? And all of this. And have I done enough that if I do have something that incapacitates me or worse, puts me down, that how does the business survive? And is there any value in it for either a succession or the next generation? Great point.
And to that point, you know, there's two things in business. And Michael Gerber's point too, I understand he was a big proponent of, from the day that you start your business, you have to get it ready for eventual sale. And that's just natural. But two things in business, and I'm not suggesting you become an absentee owner, but we all know that you should be working on a plan that removes you from the day-to-day. It doesn't mean you can't be involved. That's not what I'm saying. It doesn't mean if you're very technical and you want to be involved in the shop in some capacity in some way, I get that. If you want to be involved in the service department, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that in order for you to grow your business, you have to put the right people around you in place. And that's your responsibility as a business owner. And you got to look down the road. I know it's hard. I know many shop owners, clients of mine told me, that's so far in the future, I can't worry about it. Well, let me tell you something. You've got to worry about it today because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You really don't. Work your way out of the business. It doesn't mean you're separated from the business. If that's your choice, that's fine. But if you want to be in the day-to-day, that's fine too. But you have to build a business that survives without you. That's an obligation you have. It's going to be worth more, first of all. And second of all, it's going to run better, be more profitable if you have more heads, more collective thinking heads involved in the process and allows you to do the things you need to continue to grow the business.
Okay, so I'm struggling. I'm listening to this episode and I'm saying, oh my God, I have to do something. And I have to work myself out of the business and I have to make it more valuable. I don't care if you're 40 years old and you may not think of retiring or selling this thing to your 60. If you could get an exit strategy plan in your mind, fix and change the business. Wow. Think about this. Joe, I'm not sure what you think is of a good time frame to turn a struggling business around for an eventual sale. Work your way out, build a profit structure, amass. People are going to buy the cash flow of the business, right? So you've got to have that. 3 to 5 years, if I wanted to succumb to getting a coach and moving forward?
That's the standard thought, is that if you're going to sell, you're 55 years old, you want to sell by 60, you got to start thinking now. Well, I go back to what I said earlier. Business is like your home. You have to build it and maintain it as if you're going to sell it tomorrow. So do the right things. If you're in business 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, you got to do the right things now. Get the help. If you don't understand certain things, if I say to you break even, net profit, KPIs, if you don't not understanding those terms right now, then you got to get the help to understand it. But I don't believe in that 3 to 5 year window, I'll be honest with you. I understand that if you haven't done anything, you better start thinking right now if you're 55, 58, 60. But to be honest with you, your business from the very start, once you get beyond startup mode, which hopefully is a short window, startup mode, you got to be thinking about growth and succession. You really do. So it's a lifelong project. It really is. It's not just a small window.
You're absolutely right. Just to bring this down, we were basically talking about an unexpected event that happens in your life. But to wrap your mind around the fact that even if I'm so young that I don't want to sell my business, but let me fix it so that I actually have something to sell. And if I ever do have something happen to me, then I've got something that has value. Anyway, we did an episode, Town Hall 316, a few weeks back, Surviving a Health Scare with Eric Henley, Al Wright, and Matt Wagg. And there were a lot of great things that came out of that in the discussion. They're all with us. They all had a health scare. And so thank you for bringing this up. I love to, if you will, repeat a theme. We did this about maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, and you're coming in notching that belt again for us. And hopefully there's enough people that will say, they talked about it then, Joe's talking about it now. So anyway, thank you for that. Let's move on to our second topic. And oh, by the way, if you've ever been to an elite worldwide fly with the Eagles, then this guy is your buddy because you know him. Joe continues to teach that for Elite every year. So, customer experience. Matt Fonslow recently did an episode. It was his episode 73. His wife needed oxygen. She had some terrible problems. Joe, I'm telling you.
Great podcast.
How do you go to a place to get oxygen? And then they tell you, once they got the order to give the oxygen, they said, oh, we don't have any. How could that common sense be missing from that clerk's mind?
It's inconceivable. Plus, Matt also, if you listen to him, he called his suppliers and they had medical grade oxygen. They just didn't have the regulators. So yeah, how could you do this? And you're dealing with people. And I've had this situation too with the medical field too. And I'm not saying anything bad about that, but sometimes we treat machines better than they sometimes treat people. And this is a prime example of it. It's sad. That was a great podcast. And Matt's a smart guy. And his frustration, you can see, was off the charts there, understandably so.
We have recently in our life with me and Anne had that, the issue that the common sense breaks down and people are looking at it as a transaction, not as a trusted relationship. What can I do to help this person? And as you said, you never assume that an individual who comes in and is working your counter and is the face of your business to the customer has common sense and these soft skills, empathy.
Well, that's the point here. Like getting back to the doctor scenario, 2 weeks ago, I went to my doctor's appointment, regular physical, and I get there, the 11 o'clock appointment, and the girl was sitting, staring at her screen, doesn't look up. And then after about 5-10 seconds, which feels like an eternity, by the way, she says, can I help you? Now I have an 11 o'clock appointment. Can I help you? That's number one. And I says, yes, I have an 11 o'clock appointment. My name is Marconi. She says, okay, like that. And she's still staring at her screen. Not once did she look up at me. That screen, by the way, become your enemy. So tell your service advisors, be careful with that screen. So then she says, okay, have a seat. After about another 10 seconds, by the way, have a seat. And that was it. Not once did she look up. Now you can, to your point earlier, you can say, well, doesn't she possess any type of skills? Maybe not. I mean, are people born with the skill to play the piano, or they have the talent to play the piano or to play basketball? It's the talent first. I think it's up to the business owner, the management of the company, to see and examine and establish what is great customer service. What does that look like? And then they have to put some training in-house course in place to teach what that is to everybody, because everyone in the company is part of the marketing plan. Everyone. But it's got to be taught.
Joe, you just inspired me. We love the medical analogy to our business, don't we? We just love it. It is so unbelievably paralleled. And hearing your story, I wrote down 3 words. Here's the juice from this episode. Bedside manner.
There you go.
Okay. You inspired me to think that. Why wouldn't the nurse or the clerk on the other side of the window say, hey, good to see you, Mr. Marconi? Why couldn't she say that? I mean, you're here for a physical. Who knows what they're going to find? An ache over here and an ache over there. Bedside manner. Think about it. It goes on all the time. We say, oh, I just had a bad experience with a doctor who came in and did a test while I was in the hospital. And boy, they didn't sugarcoat that and I wasn't ready for it.
And to piggyback on that point, the exact opposite. A few years back, I made an appointment reservation at a steakhouse in White Plains, New York. We were going out for our anniversary. So when I called up for the reservation, the lady on the phone says to me, is this a special occasion? I said, yeah, it is. We're celebrating our anniversary. She said, oh, great. That's great. Can you be here around 7:15? Because I wanted 7 o'clock, 7:15. So I says, okay, 7:15. I thought it was kind of odd, 7:15. No problem. So when I got there, we walk in and the people greet us and says, I says, I'm here for my 7:15. I says, oh, Mr. Marconi, happy anniversary. Already prepared for us. Already prepared. And it was like that one thing alone about being prepared meant so much to my wife and I. And think about that. How, if you look at your schedule for today, right now, how many people are coming in? You have 5 people coming in, 6 people coming in. Maybe you have 1 or 2 wait customers in the morning, but you pretty much know the schedule. Why not be prepared for these customers when they greet it? Oh, Mrs. Jones, I'm glad to see you. You're bringing in your Volvo today. How's everything been? So why not be prepared instead of saying like the other scenario where the girl at the receptionist, the counter, doesn't even know who you are or why you're there. So look, there are things you can do in business that wow experience, little things. They don't cost a dime. They're no cost at all, but they make a big impact on the emotions of that customer or the client coming through that door.
I don't think this is hard to teach, by the way.
It's not. It really isn't. Set the tone, establish your culture, Set a few training guidelines in place. You know, let me give you another one. How many times does a technician walk out to the car and there's another customer coming into the place and they pass each other? Does the technician know just to smile or say hello or nod his head? Just making eye contact with somebody and smiling, because that person has, no matter what they're coming in for, whether it's an oil change service, check engine light, engine problem, their level of anxiety is way up here. Why not start lowering that anxiety level by doing all those right things from when they walk out of the car? Because everybody, like I said earlier, everybody is included in your marketing plan. Everybody.
Let me just say this. If you believe that you could kick your customer experience up a notch or two, then there's a few things I think you can do for your people. One of the things that I learned a long time ago, I went to the Disney Institute, bunch of years ago, Joe. And the people got up and they said, you know, we had these strategic plans. We're putting all this stuff up on the wall. We had all these teams. And at the end of the day, we felt that our customer service creed was this: look them in the eye and smile. Powerful. Why couldn't you put that inside of your company? There's the technician coming in or out of the door. Doesn't matter who it is, the shuttle driver, look him in the eye and smile.
Doesn't matter.
And we've done so many episodes on customer service. John DeJulius comes to mind. We've done some great episodes with him. Ford, F-O-R-D, Family, Occupation, Recreation, and Dreams. And he wants you to know that about every one of your customers, so that ice is always broken when you have a chance in your CRM program to know that about this customer. Hey, how was your son? How was that hockey tournament? And there's the intimacy right there.
Well, yeah. And to that point, that's a very, very critical point right there, Carmen. I'll tell you why. When you have a blanket, most shops, most businesses have a blanket customer service protocol. They're good to everybody. They're great to everybody. And that's fine. That's essential. But to your point, Carmen, why not we get into the hearts and minds of the individual? So I would tell my service, when I was in business, I should tell my service advisors, try to pick out through conversation or what they're wearing something unique about them. So if they're wearing a Yankees cap, if they have a dog with them, ask the dog's name. Or if they have a child with them, I see he's dressed in a little uniform. Yeah, he plays local. Okay, make those notes in your computer system. This way, everybody can be privy to them. And next time they come back, how's your dog Duke doing or whatever? So it's good to have a blanket protocol of customer service that applies to everyone. But if you can be unique, find something unique about that person. Let's say they're a veteran, a Vietnam veteran, they're wearing that cap. Then you point that out. You say, thank you for your service to this country, sir. Things like that. So if you can be unique in your customer service approach, you're going to make a bigger impact. You're going to make a memorable experience. That wow factor goes about 10 notches higher.
Yeah. You said something just a little bit ago. You said the word talent or skill. And I love that. And I think this is a huge takeaway. Do you have the skill to play the piano or the talent? And I guess if you have the talent, then you just go. But if not, I want to learn how to play the piano, then I've got to learn that skill. And so when you look at your people on your counter or anyone who interacts with a customer, maybe assessing, we seem to be wanting to hire people from the food service, the hotel, the hospitality industry to work on our counters because many of them have the natural ability to relate to people. Or if not, they've had some kind of training. Let's talk about that talent and skill thing on our counter.
Well, everybody's born with certain talents. Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. Michael Jordan, a great basketball player. Tom Brady, a great football player, a great quarterback. But they weren't born with the skills of that position. They weren't born. They were born with the talent. So if you're lucky enough to get someone that has people skills, certain talents, you can develop those skills needed to make them just a better and better and better. So talent is one thing. We all have talents, but we're not born with the skills to know things. None of us are. I think it's more important to find out how far we can develop in within people based upon their talents. Now, obviously, if they have a strength toward people, a strength toward communication, a strength toward wanting to help people, those make the best service advisors. It doesn't mean you can't train a foreman, a technician's foreman in the back to be more customer service oriented. You can do that and you should do that. But it all goes back to understanding that, again, they're not born with certain skills. They have to be taught.
Okay, so I'm a shop owner. I have a passion for people and my counter. In fact, in the early days, I worked my counter all the time, grew my business. I was great at it. But I may not necessarily be the best instructor. We've got to get our service advisors, our people, the ones that interact with our customers, into some kind of training program, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, well, yes. And there, that you could take that multiple different directions, too. I think that every service advisor, they have to have some level of training, no matter where they came from. So getting back to your point earlier about the hospitality business, yeah, they're exposed to that and they understand it because they've been ingrained in their background to be very customer-oriented. But they may not understand all the different dimensions of the service advisor's skills needed in our position. So that takes training. But be honest with you, Carm, I got to be honest with you. The leadership and the people skills that needed for the entire group, everybody knows them. They're people skills. Everybody knows how to be nice to everybody. All you have to do is tell yourself, how can I bump up my game? Everybody's a person. Just treat people the way you want to be treated, but more importantly, the way they want to be treated. So I don't want to overthink this. It's not elaborate planning. This is really taking it to like, we got to sit down with our team. We got to develop and ask collectively, how can we bump up every touch point from the phone call to the meet and greet, to the car write-up, the sales process, the car delivery, the follow-up. How can we bump this up to another level that tells the customer, we really care about you as a person? So it's not that elaborate, Carm. It really isn't.
It's got to be training, though, to Joe. And if you take a technician who he's really a great DIA guy, but he says, you know what, I need to go to that GDI class again. It's been about 3 years. Let me go see what's new, maybe a different trainer. And if we're doing that for our technicians, then we need to have some continual programs for our service advisors. Does Elite have programs like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah. It's called the Elite Masters Program. It's an ongoing program. They also have Sales Master University, which is an online program, self-paced. So you do have that continual training through Elite. But, you know, even more than that, though, it has to be reinforced every day in the shop by the culture of your company, by strong leadership, and by continuous in-house training on get everybody involved. Again, ask everybody. Get these meeting huddles together, these weekly huddles, whatever, and you have to ask one question. How can we bump up our customer experience? You know, by the way, customer experience, customer service, they're two different things. We kind of interchange them. A customer service, that's an event. When someone calls your shop, how is that person treated? That's an event. When someone walks through the door and they're greeted, that's an event. But the customer experience, what we truly want to enhance, that's the sum of everything put together. In other words, when they leave there, how many of those individual components of the cycle, the journey the customer goes through, how many of those components were really a wow factor? If you can produce that on a continual basis, you want to know something? Price begins to fade. Happen to their car begins to fade. Let me tell you something, Carm. 3-4 months down the road, nobody remembers the coil pack you put in or the mass airflow sensor. They don't remember that. They remember how they were treated. Just like your favorite restaurant. You're looking for a favorite restaurant, go to Mario's. My best friend at Mario's. Last time we went there, oh, I don't remember what I had there. You don't remember what you had necessarily, what you had to eat, but you do remember how you were treated. So it's the same thing.
And you want to go back because that feeling that you had puts that shop in the top tier of your decision making. And so I completely agree with you. This was great. You mentioned the thing, go out and have huddles. And every once in a while, I mention that. People say, I don't like that. And then I always have to take that football analogy, Joe. What do they have before every play?
They have a huddle. They communicate.
I know.
Get everybody on the same page. I became a big proponent of meetings, huddles, communication. You cannot communicate enough. You really can't. And that's step one. Step two is you got to get people in your organization to communicate back to you. Communication is the key. It really is. So whether you have a morning huddles, daily huddles, weekly, whatever it is, you've got to meet with your people and you better communicate all the time. It's so essential.
I so love to talk to you. We could go on for an hour or two, but I love this. This was a great episode. We covered, hey, what happens if something unexpected happens? And of course, amazing customer experience is taught. It's never assumed. And when you hire people out there, hopefully you can see that you can mold them to have great empathy for the customer, live in the culture that you provide, and have some common sense, which is what we seem to be finding people don't have anymore.
And don't forget, too, that when people walk into our automotive shops, we're being judged not just by other automotive shops. We're being judged by their entire experience that the consumer has with everything. Amazon, Starbucks, the deli, the restaurant, everything. So, and for most of it, which is probably a good thing, it's not that good, the customer experience in many of these places. So for you to go the extra mile to produce something that is a wow factor, make you stand out, there's nothing better than that. Again, you're going to create an experience so memorable that they want to repeat it again.
Yeah, and we continue to hear some really bad surveys and attitudes about automotive service. Every once in a while, people want to write an article they want to have read. They always find someone that never had a really good experience. Think about it. Let's just put Starbucks in your favoritest AA restaurant on the shelf and say, how much would you spend there? $250 here, $0.89 there, $5 there. They're spending $800,000-$900,000 getting an automotive repair. Why shouldn't we have the best experience, the best feelings that people walk away with because they're coughing over so many dollars just to keep their car reliable and safe?
And that's the point. First of all, in today's market, in today's world, like you said, some of these repairs can be very, very expensive, depending upon what kind of car you drive too. You got to take that away. You had to give them something of value. I always say this, and I preach it in my Eagles course, when your value goes up, price fades. When value is down, price becomes very important. So in order to get that price out of the way and the problem with their vehicle out of the way, it takes nothing just to treat them nice with respect. It takes very little. But again, it's got to be taught.
Good stuff, Joe. Appreciate your wisdom. Honored to have you always on the show. Former shop owner, Coach Elite Worldwide, and co-founder of AutoShopOwner.com. Great site for you name it. You could probably find it there if you're a shop owner. Hey, Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, man. Thank you. This is great. Always willing and able to do this. So I appreciate it very much, Carl. I really do.
Super wisdom, my friend. Have a good day.
You too. Bye now.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.